Happy Sabbath, everyone, and good afternoon to you. I'm just looking at our time. I realize that I have 10 minutes. Well, we'll make the best of prophetic 10 minutes. Thank you. I didn't know. I probably will have to give an honorary degree of acting to Michael. What do you think? Where are you? Yes. Yeah, I tell you, a man of many skills. Really appreciated your telling, you know, of that story. I really appreciated that. And we'll remember what God has gifted you to do in any future event that we have organized or planned there, Michael. Thank you too to those who have sung today. And the music, we have really appreciated those who bring their talents and their gifts to the Lord. And as I reflect on Sister Debbie's introduction, you know, you come to realize that you never know what's going to happen to you, when and where. And I'm so glad that God kept me calm. God is good. It is good to look at you, many of you who are decorated in the glorious colors of your nation. It is good to note that we come from one man. You know, as they say, out of one many nation, we have come. And we celebrate that fact today, and we are thankful to the Lord. You know, the blessing comes to many of those of you who are able to speak more than one language. How many of you are able to speak more than one language here? Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, I tell you, I excel in English. I excel. But, you know, I remember, you know, as I was listening to the languages, that when we were training as missionaries, we would learn survival phrases. And, you know, I learned a few. And I suppose as I try to rehearse this before you, maybe you might be able to recognize what language it is. So, you know, we would begin by saying Habali. Nataka kuchifunza Kiswahili. Hivi ndivyo ninavyo weza kusema. Anyone understand that? Ah, very good. So we learned survival phrases, and you know, we had a taste of what it means to get our tongue around certain languages. And that wasn't the only one that we learned. It was Rwandan as well. I'm not going to rehearse that one before you today. We also did Russian. But it's lovely to be able to speak in multiple languages. You know, I suppose maybe my second language would be Patois. But again, I will not demonstrate that here today. Maybe it might have been demonstrated if I was caught off guard like how Sam did, you know, that night. But good to be with us today. Now, I suppose one of the many challenges that one has when, you know, you're considering a day like this. The question is, what to present on International Day? Does the Bible have much to actually say about it? And it does. It certainly does. But I've chosen today to look at the subject matter. Cement between the bricks. And hopefully, you know, as we go through this message today, you will understand what we're talking about here. Cement between the bricks. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we just want to commit again this time into your hands. And we pray that your Spirit will speak to our hearts under this topic. We pray that, Lord, you will grant unto us understanding. Draw us, O Father, not only closer to you, which is the principal thing, but in being drawn closer to you, we will be drawn closer to each other. So speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Cement between the bricks. God is, finish it. That's right. God is love. God's character is love. His very nature and every law spoken from his mouth is motivated by love. The principles of God's government in heaven and in the vast, limitless expanse of space is established upon the solid foundation of love. By extension, the angels in heaven reflect that love. They reflect that love in their facial expression, their tone of voice, the words they speak, what they do, how they serve, how they relate, how they cooperate and work together. There in heaven was no contention there. There in heaven was no proud heart there. There was no hostility there. No division there. There were no struggles in heaven for recognition or the desire to have first place there. You see, love was the golden rule. Love was the recurring theme of heaven. Love was the beginning and the ending. Love was the cement. Remember that? That's what we are connecting here. Love was the cement that bound them together, bound all of them together in an inseparable, impenetrable bond. Until the elusive mystery of sin entered heaven and broke up the perfect harmony that existed there. Lucifer, who became the devil, and Satan, who began to demonstrate the very opposite quality of God, began to hack away at the cement of love that brought unity and that was a binding principle of heaven. That cement that bound all the hosts of heaven together in strong loving allegiance and service to one another. Satan hacked and hacked away until the harmony amongst one third disintegrated, weakening the structure of heaven and blew out into open rebellion against Christ and his government. I thank God that the whole of heaven's host did not fall out because cement remained between the bricks. I thank God that two-thirds of the host of heaven refused to permit Satan to penetrate that cement that united them and kept them together. And so Satan, we are told in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, we read, Satan, that old serpent, called the devil, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And when I read that text, I say, well, heaven was made glad, but the earth was made sad. Because the Bible tells us in verse 12 of Revelation 12 that the devil has come down to us. And my, hasn't he come down? You see, since he's touched down, since Satan landed here, he has caused generation after generation to exhibit characteristics of hostility and coldness. He has caused fragmentation and disunity in all societies and at all levels. We have generation fragmentation, the separation between age groups driven by technology, distinct worldviews, and the decline of the traditional family. We have racial fragmentation. We have social fragmentation. We have cultural fragmentation. Trust has broken down. Confidence has waned. People are almost existing in silos because they do not feel safe. Whatever they tell one person in confidence, they hear it again through someone else. I wish I could say that is a problem that is unique to the world outside and not a problem that we find on the inside. But if we are truly honest, we will have to confess that we see evidences even among us of how Satan has been endeavoring to hack away at the cement. So much so to the point that we find ourselves existing as individual bricks in the structure of the body of Christ. The sinews and the tendons that should connect us all in a healthy union and function is under attack by the enemy of love and unity. And so when the winds of challenges beat against the walls of our community here, we begin to find fault with Brother H. Or we may begin to criticize Sister Z, and we want to give Brother I a piece of our minds. But Matthew 5 verse 44 encourages us to apply cement in challenging times. The Bible says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Luke chapter 6, verse 31 and 32 admonishes us, "For if you love them which love you, what credit is that to you? For sinners also love those that love them." We are to be a peculiar people. Now, I'm not talking about strange. That's not what the word is meaning here, peculiar. We ought to be a different people. Different. God calls us to be different from those who only love if they are loved. We must love those that we consider unlovable. We must unite with those who we consider undesirable. For this is the identification mark of God's followers, as John 13:35 says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if what? You have cement." You know, Paul counsels in Romans 12 and verse 9, he says, "But let love be without," and he uses this word here, "dissimulation." Could someone translate that? "But let love be without dissimulation." That word dissimulation means without hypocrisy. Let that love be genuine. So let us not dissociate ourselves from those who look different from us, or those who may rub us up the wrong way, or those whose ideas we strongly disagree with, or those with whom we may believe that we just simply cannot get along with. For you see, love, my brothers and sisters, always seeks to recognize something of value in the object of love. Just as when Jesus looks at you and he looks at me, what he sees is something of great value. We are all of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. There is neither young or old, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And I want to encourage us all to watch and pray. Watch and pray, because Satan can use any of us as his tool to hack away at the cement. Yes. Let Let me share with you a dynamic rendition of 1 Corinthians 13. I say dynamic, it is different. Well different. Though I may be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, and have had many years of experience in God's church, but have no cement, I am nothing. Though I have been entrusted with the oracles of God and the spirit of prophecy, and though I may have the correct understanding of the Holy Scriptures above all others, and have no cement, I am nothing. Though I may be compelled to give of my goods to the poor, and give imperishable items when required, and have no cement, I am nothing. Though I may play an instrument well and sing the songs of Zion at the top of my voice, though I may teach Sabbath school to the best of my ability and maintain discipline among the children effectively, if I have no cement, I am nothing. Though I make sure that the rules and regulations are kept, and the church is neat and tidy after everyone has left, and though I do my best to make church run smoothly and take the rod of correction to the unruly, if I have no cement, I am nothing. I've told this before. There's a parable told of certain pigs. Four little pigs. You remember? Maybe too far in the past. Four little pigs. Four little pigs who went to build houses for protection against the wolf. We know the story, right? Well, I have a little variation. Yeah, we know that there are three, but I'm telling four. So I'm just adding a little poetic license. So here they are, four little pigs who went to build their house for protection against the wolf. The first pig built his house out of straw. We know the story. So the wolf came along and blew on that house. And the story tells us that the house fell. It scattered. That's what will happen with straw. And the wolf devoured the pig. The second pig built his house out of am I the only one that knows this story? The second pig built his house out of wood. The wolf, Satan, came along and saw the beautifully made house. He puffed and puffed till the house came down and he devoured the pig. Well, the third pig, he went away, he bought some bricks. So he stacked up the bricks one on top of the other, made his house, sermon title, Cement Without the Bricks. One on top of the other. And he continued doing so until he made his house. The wolf Satan came, saw the house, prepared himself, and in four mighty puffs, the bricks simply tumbled over. The third pig was devoured. That's not how the story goes, though. I know some of you looking at me. You see, there's a fourth pig. This fourth pig went away to the store. he purchased some bricks and a few bags of cement, and he went his way to build his house. This fourth pig, now he dug deep into the soil, which symbolizes the word of God here. And then he carefully laid the foundation stone. That is Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, that sure foundation. And upon that solid foundation, he began to lay the bricks, that is you and me, from different tribes and different nations, different age groups and different tongues that make up the church. And between each brick, this fourth pig applied some cement. And as each brick became initiated as part of the structure through baptism, he would apply some more cement between the bricks until the structure took the form of a house. Well, as the story goes, the wolf came. Satan. And he caused the winds of social, cultural, generational, and racial discrimination to beat upon that house until the break of day. But that house stood still because there was some cement between. Paul says, for you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And as John the Revelator, looking down the corridors of time to the final restoration of all things, he saw a great multitude that no one could count, and in a huge house made up of many bricks, connected by the inseparable, impenetrable cement of love. From every nation, every tribe, every tongue and people and language, standing before the throne of the Lamb with white robes and with victory palms in their hands. And they cry, salvation belong to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And so while we prepare for this great grand climax, let us ask the Lord of our tabernacle, to put some cement between our brick and the brick of our brother and sister, whether young or old, man or woman. Whatever tribe you may hail from, we want to pray that God, while we tarry and wait for that great climax, that we would ask that the Lord of our tabernacle will place some cement between us and our brother and sister. Let me tell you, it will be a formidable structure. Satan will not be able to do with what he did with the other three pigs, and what he is seeking to do with us, cause division. And like a lion who scatters the herd and targets the one, so he wishes to do the same among us. But when we have that cement between us, Satan is defeated. Let us ask. of our tabernacle to put some cement between us and